the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mahdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafi. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, develop the habit of patience against sufferings, calamities, and adversities. This virtue of patience is one of the highest values of morality and nobility of character, and it is the best habit which one can develop. Trust in Allah and let your mind seek His protection in every calamity and suffering, because you will thus entrust yourself and your affairs to the best trustee and to the mightiest guardian. Do not seek help or protection from anybody but Allah. Reserve your prayers, your requests, your solicitations, your supplications, and your entreaties to Him and Him alone, because to grant, to give, to confer and to bestow, as well as to withhold, to deprive, to refuse, and to debar, lies only in His power. Ask as much of His blessings and seek as much of His guidance as you can. Try to understand my exhortation. Ponder over them deeply. Do not take them lightly, and do not turn away from them, because the best knowledge is that which benefits the listener. The knowledge which does not benefit anybody is useless, not valuable, and not worth learning and remembering. My dear son, when I realized that I was getting old and when I felt that weakness and feebleness are gradually creeping into me, then I hastened to advise you as to the best ways of leading a noble, virtuous, and useful life. I hated the idea that death should overtake me before I tell you all that I wanted to tell, or before my mental capacities, like my bodily strength, are weak.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother. We're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam. One of the great lessons which we learn from the universal persona of Imam Ali is how one should refrain from running after the dunya, running after the materialistic wealth and the materialistic world. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, used to say, "O yellow gold and white silver, deceive someone else and set the trap on the way of others." So one day, Imam Ali, who had prepared his special sword for selling, he went to the market saying, "Who will buy this sword? By Allah, who makes the grain grow in the earth, this sword has long served the messenger of Allah," and removing the dust of sorrow from his holy face. "If I could afford to buy one piece of clothing, I would never sell this sword." Allahu Akbar, dear friends. So profound here that despite the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam was in need, still he did not beg anyone for the world. He did not beg the world for the world. And so we too must be honest in our work, honest in our dealings, honest in earning a halal, a permissible livelihood. And of course, we should never fall into the trap of falling in love with the materialistic world, because falling in love with the materialistic world truly has no benefit to us, neither in this world nor in the next. A beautiful and profound lesson brought to all of us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil. And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, "Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger." And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of our faith. And all physically fit and mature Muslims are required to fast every day of this month of Ramadan. Fasting is not unique to Islam. It is there in Christianity, in Judaism, even in Hindu and Buddhist tradition. There is this tradition of fasting. However, in Islam, when we talk about fasting, it is more involved in a sense that every day of the month of Ramadan, we have to abstain from dawn to dusk, abstaining from food, even from drinking water. And those who are smokers are not allowed to smoke. But let me now go on to the social dimension of fasting. What is the benefit? Hunger and thirst makes us realize the suffering of the less fortunate members of the society. And when we do this every day, you know, it is going to rekindle this sense of generosity and being helpful towards the poor and the needy in the community as well as the people around the world. When we fast in the afternoon or evening, you know, we start feeling the hunger and thirst. But we still have that assurance at the end of the day, there will be iftar and food on our table. But then we had to realize that there are many people around the world who fast not because it is the month of Ramadan. They are going through fasting because they don't have anything to eat. And they don't have any assurance that at the end of the day, they will have the meal known as iftar. And this you know, realization will surely encourage this element of charity and sharing within us. And this is considered to be the month of charity and sharing.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of teenagers. And the answers are mostly based upon the Quran and the narrations of our beloved Imams alayhim as-salam. I'm Hasnain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Sheikh Farman Ali Ma'soumi. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawdha Ilmiya Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Farman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Farman, one of our listeners has written to us, What is the importance of respecting our youngsters and what are its benefits?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, I would like to thank you for inviting me, for
it's
giving me this opportunity to share the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam with you and with our dear listeners, respected listeners. This is a very essential and important question, yeah?
Yes.
But usually regarding our teenagers and teenager boys and girls, usually parents, they have a lot of difficulties.
Yeah.
You know, as in our previous episode we discussed, they are a little bit rude in this age, in this stage.
Right.
Rebel.
Yeah.
They don't listen to you, they don't obey you sometimes.
That's right, yeah.
That's why usually parents, they can't control themselves and they start reacting them.
Right.
So which can hurt our teenagers. So one of the very, very important things we should do regarding our teenagers is respect them.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Because in general, you know, respect, if you respect others, you will get in response respect. Yeah,
true.
The others will respect
yeah,
you.
That's right.
So if you respect your teenager, no matter how much he is rebel, you know, she or he,
yeah,
how much she is disobedient,
yeah,
if they get respect from you, they face respect from you, from parents, father and mother,
yeah,
this will completely change their opinion, their viewpoint, their, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting, respect. Yeah.
Yeah. So Quran always emphasizes to respect. Even if you are arguing with your enemies, you have to respect your enemy.
وَجَادِلْهُمْ
بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ.
Yeah.
With respect. So Quran says about enemies. So you are having discussions or having, you know, confrontations with your own beloved son and daughter.
True. Yeah.
So how come you forget this beautiful rule of respecting each other,
yeah,
you know?
Like, even we have to respect our enemies.
Respect. Inshallah, this beautiful and golden rule will show you the result within,
inshallah,
you know, few hours and not hours, few weeks.
Inshallah.
So we have to be patient and keep respecting our teenagers. Because teenagers are in a very, very sensitive age.
True.
So respecting them will boost their confidence. They will trust upon you. Because we will, inshallah, share with our dear listeners.
Inshallah.
Teenagers have a very soft and clean heart.
Uh-huh.
In hadith also, in traditions also, our Imam alayhim as-salam, they have emphasized. قُلُوبُ الشَّابِ Araq, kalbu shabbi araq. The heart of a young boy or girl is very, very soft.
Uh-huh.
You know, they feel guilty very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they disobey you, whenever they become
so
rude
we need to
towards
be
you, yeah, be careful. If you respect, definitely they will think upon it.
Yeah.
And they will feel guilty quickly.
Uh-huh, that's right.
This is very, very important. And look at the life of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we have heard a lot about children, how much he would respect children, especially Imam Hassan and Hussein when
they were children. Yeah.
Likewise, he would respect the teenagers. He was more careful about teenagers. You know, he would always emphasize to his companions to respect and take care of the teenagers. We can see a lot of incidents and events and stories about the Holy Prophet when he faced the teenagers, how beautifully he has interacted with them.
Thank you so much, Brother Farman. Let's take a short break over here and we'll be right back after that.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا
Dear audience, welcome back after the break. And before the break, we were discussing about Islam commanding us about respecting children. So, Brother Farman, please continue.
Yeah, we were discussing about the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessing upon him. He was the role model for all of us, for teenagers, for children, for young, for adults.
That's right.
So whenever he would face teenagers, whenever in any majlis or in any gatherings he was there, he would, if any teenager would come, he would stand and give a place to him or him, usually.
So much respect.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in our, you know, societies, we always emphasize and we always tell our teenagers to give place and respect adults. Yeah, that which is very good. Yeah, morally.
But
and
it should happen
attitude.
Both the ways.
Yeah.
From both the sides.
Yeah. If an adult gives a place to a teenager, it can have, 100 times more impact, effect on his life, you know. Then the confidence, the boost of confidence of teenager, the respect, you know, this is very important. And, you know, when Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go to any travel and he would come back in the city, whenever he would see a teenager, he would go and kiss and do salam. You know about salam?
Yeah.
Inshallah, we'll discuss also doing salam is a very, very important role in our upbringing of teenagers, especially. So he would come, Prophet would go to him and say salam to him first.
Yeah.
Then he would hug him. Then he would play with him,
true.
Teenager. Yeah, if he was playing, sometimes they would play on muddy streets. Yeah, Holy Prophet would go and play with him, with them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your clothes, the Holy Prophet saw some clothes, would also get dirty and muddy.
Yeah. Right.
And your companions, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You have to go to namaz, masjid, and your clothes are dirty.
Yeah.
The Holy Prophet would say to them, you also come and play with him.
Allah.
Pay respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this kind of, you know, behavior with the teenagers, with our children, can have a very, very important impact in their lives. And look at our Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam's life, the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how he would treat, even although whole his life was, you know, spent in, you know, wars against munafiqeen and non-Muslims, but whenever he would find any time, he would play with teenagers and children, you know. He would go and teach them, even with his own youngsters, beautifully and respectfully. That's why we can see, you know, the children of Imam Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the children of companions, because they had got a lot of respect in their life, so they had a beautiful character in their life, you know.
True.
Practically, morally, socially, they didn't have any problem.
Thank you so much, Brother Farman. Let's take a short break over here. Dear audience, do not go anywhere.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back to your audience. And before the break, we were discussing about Imam Ali respecting teenagers. And we were discussing about Ahlul Bayt, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt about respecting teenagers. Please, Brother Farman.
Yeah, and if we look over the life of our great ulamas, we can find the same, the life and the events of Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in our ulamas' life also.
Yeah.
You have heard about the Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi,
yes.
How much he was respecting his teenagers, his children generally. You know, he was, before the Islamic Revolution, when he was a great Ayatollah and Mujtahid, still he was very famous. But whenever he would find time at home, he would, you know, prepare tea, food for his children. You know, he would would help them, he would play with them. You know, by paying this much attention to your teenagers and children, respecting them, you can bring them like a, you know, very good character for life. And they can play a very beautiful role in future life, you know, in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you forget this golden rule and you treat your children with a little bit irrespectfully, then it can have a very, very bad impact. Mm-hmm. Then they can become...
So basically...
Yeah. Definitely, then they will go towards guna. Committing sin will become easy for them.
Yeah.
That's why our Aima alayhi salam, they always emphasize that man karumat alayhi nafsuhu lam yuhinha bil ma'asiyah. If you respect your teenager, your children, it will be very difficult for them to commit sins. Lam yuhinha bil ma'asiyah. They will not betray their souls by committing sins because you have given enough respect.
So respecting them even prevents them from committing sin.
Definitely. If their soul is full of respect, then they would not think about disrespecting the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because respect brings respect. So if you have paid enough respect towards your children, to your teenagers especially, definitely they will have a respectful character, respectful response they will give to you, and they will be respectful towards the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't think when you are respecting your teenagers that this is just your only your son. He is rude towards you, so I have to be rude, I have to teach them a lesson. No. Keep in mind, this teenager is a trust of Allah to you. These our children are trust. You remember, if somebody gives you any trust, what do? You take care of it, yeah?
Yeah, right.
You try your best to take care of it and give him as if as he has given to you.
That's
in the same conditions, So children of the children... Our children are the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So we have to keep this trust and we have to take care of it and we have to give this trust to Allah. Definitely after, you know, when they die and when they, finish in this world, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very good condition. Without, you know, the committing sins, without their, you know, betraying their respectful life.
Right.
So these things we should keep in our mind.
So it's parents' duty to take care of the teenagers.
Teenagers, trust. Regarding this tarbiyah of our children, our Aima alayhim salam, they have emphasized, even they have guided us that where we should choose to build a house, you know. Today, right now, I was reading Nahjul Balagha. In Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, choose a city, a big city, Muslim city to stay, to make your house there, you know, to live there. Because if you choose a non-Muslim city or a city where there are a lot of non-Muslims, do not make your house there. So inshallah, we can discuss about this in our coming episode.
Inshallah, thank you so much, Brother Farman, and thank you so much to your audience for staying with us. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah.
Let's listen to the famous reciters of the Holy Quran in the month of Allah.
Subhanallah.
Brother Muhammad Reza Birya, only in IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of the Month of Allah. In this segment, we'll be talking about famous Quran reciters in the world of Islam. Today, we'll be talking about a very famous and prominent Quran reciter from Islamic Republic of Iran, Brother Muhammad Javad Panahi. This great reciter was born in Mashhad in 1965 into a religious family. His father was a religious scholar, and he was one of his main encouragers on the path of becoming a reciter of the Quran. Very quickly, Brother Muhammad Javad Panahi learned the rules of tajweed and recitation of the Quran. And when he became a skilled and professional reciter of the Quran, he participated in two Quran competitions. One in Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, where he placed first, he won the competition, and second in Syria, where again he placed first and won the competition. This great reciter holds a Quran session in Masjid Guharshad in the Holy Shrine of Imam Ridha. There is a mosque right next to the Holy Shrine of Imam Ridha, which is called Guharshad. Brother Muhammad Javad Panahi has Quran sessions and gatherings there, in one of the areas of that mosque. The style of Brother Muhammad Javad Panahi is very similar to Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Tablawi. In fact, he's one of the few reciters from Iran who recites the Quran using the style of Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Tablawi. It's very beautiful, and he does it very skillfully. He has a very beautiful voice, and he has a very good voice control and breath control. He can recite probably two or three lines of the Quran with one breath. This recitation that we're going to listen to right now, Suratul Hashr, verses 23 to 24, you will see just how good of a reciter this reciter is and how good his voice and breath control is. Now let's go ahead and listen to Suratul Hashr, verses 23 to 24 by Brother Muhammad Javad Panahi. Let's enjoy this recitation.
He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity, the sovereign, the pure, the perfection, the bestower of faith, the overseer, the exalted in might, the compeller, the superior. Exalted is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor, the fashioner. To Him belong the best names. Whatever is in the heavens and earth is exalting Him, and He is the exalted in might, the wise.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the qualities of the pious people, especially for those who are on the holy month of Ramadan and the beloved listeners who are experiencing this special moment of being in the mercy of God in the holy month of Ramadan. These are moments where a person can take maximum advantage of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially, I express my condolences to the whole of the Muslim Ummah and also the Shias regarding the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this condolences, for this grieving, and cause us to be even stronger in our adherence to the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where we are discussing about the qualities of the pious people. And amongst the qualities that we were discussing previously was a quality called being trustworthy, or rather keeping people's trust and not wasting that which has been entrusted upon you. This is one of the qualities of the pious people. Of course, at the very high level, this is to do with the special duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to certain specific chosen people. So there is a whole spectrum of what a person is entrusted with. Sometimes he is entrusted with some simple material issues. Sometimes he is entrusted with some major duty, can be a post, can be a position in the society, whereby a person needs to keep his trust. That means he needs to make sure that he executes that position in the best way possible. And the highest level, of course, is the position of the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is manifested in a certain individual's. And because these individuals, because of their purity and piety, they are able to, execute it completely while, completely maintaining all the different conditions and corollaries required for that entrusting and that trust that they have received. This is what we discussed previously. Inshallah, today we'll discuss another one of the qualities of the pious people, which is that he does not forget what he is reminded of.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, one of the things that is very important in a pious person is that a pious person does not forget. لا ينسى ما ذكر. He does not forget what he is reminded of. Now, of course, when you talk about this, this is not about the normal things that a person is reminded of. Of course, a person needs to be careful of those also. But most importantly here are those signs of Allah, are those special reminders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the Holy Quran, are those various lessons that are present in the different statements of Quran and the different statements of the pure individuals and the pious people and those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These words, these statements from the prophets and the messengers, these statements are ones that this pious person never forgets. That means that he is in a constant state of creating that reminder for himself, because, you know, according to some scholars, insan itself, the word insan, which is for the human being, comes from the word nisyan, means he is a person who forgets easily, according to some scholars. And because of this forgetful nature, a constant reminder is necessary, and constant reminder comes in the form of a person reading the Holy Quran very often, very often having a timetable in his life where he is to read different subjects that are of importance, that will remind him of his purpose in life and remind him of his own existence and the level of existence in which he stays and in which he exists, that level and his relationship with God. This constant reminder is necessary so that he doesn't become amongst those who are forgetful. So that he doesn't become amongst those who are forgetful.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, especially for those of you who are in the month of Ramadan now, alhamdulillah, God has blessed you with this. The very fact that a person is fasting means that he's in a constant state of remembrance. That means whenever he feels hunger and he wants to, for example, eat food, or he feels thirst and he wants to drink water, or whatever other urges the person has, and because of fasting he controls those urges, the very fact that he begins to control himself and avoids those things means that this person is in a state of remembrance. So one of those things that really keeps us on track is a very strong factor in creating that reminder for a person is the very action of fasting. This is one of the philosophies behind fasting. And fasting is such that a person outside, a person who looks at you, may not know that you are fasting. But the issue is that you yourself within you are aware of that connection that you have with God. And there is something beautiful about fasting, because it becomes a very personal relationship, a very personal attachment, and a very personal form of remembrance of God. And there are various effects of this remembrance. It's very, very simply put, one of the most powerful verses of the Quran that talk about the result of remembrance. The verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fadhkuruni Adhkurkum. If you remember me, I will remember you. Now, when we remember Allah in a very, very simple manner, based on how we understand in our minds and what we express in our tongues, which is not at all what Allah really deserves. But remember, if Allah remembers you, that means the change that He can create in you, that is just something that is beyond our understanding. You see, that is a special form of remembrance of God that comes from Him. So, keeping these things in mind means that a pious person is always trying his best never ever to forget his Lord, because of the fact that he wants to be constantly in touch with Him and experience that special connection, which is the purpose behind why he has been created. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy month of Ramadan to help us and to give us the opportunity to fast and remember Him and never to forget those duties and specific reminders that Allah has given us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد ممجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It is the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I send you my deepest condolences to all the Muslims in the world. When we talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam, we understand that he is absolutely great. The greater a person is, the more of an ability they have to attract. The stronger a person is, the more they will attract. The adhumat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is so great that many scholars, regardless of what madhab or sect they have, they were attracted to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Many of them wrote different books about the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we understand that this feeling we have about Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's due to his greatness. There's a tradition that says, "Lo ahabbani jabalun latahafat." If a mountain were to love me, it would be destroyed. Why? Because Imam Ali alayhi salam is so great, according to this interpretation, that the greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, his hope, his love is so great, it would cause mountains to melt. And this is due to his connection to God. As we said, why is Imam Ali alayhi salam so great in our eyes? Because he is connected, he has such a strong connection to God. When human beings worship God truly, they become great. We look in this tradition that talks about Imam Ali alayhi salam and says that if you were to put all of faith in all of creation on one side, and then you would put the faith of Ali ibn Abi Talib on the other side, the side of Amir al-Mu'mineen would outweigh the other side of all of creation. This means that his connection to God is the cause of his azamat, is the cause of his greatness. It means that Imam Ali alayhi salam has this beautiful way of allowing us to be guided, that he can pull us up, that he can grab our hands. His stories, his hadith, his Nahj al-Balagha has guided us. This scholar by the name of George Jordaq, he is a Christian, a Lebanese author that wrote about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he used to run away from school, he says, and would go to somewhere next to the river and would read Nahj al-Balagha, the speech and the letters of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the sayings of Imam Ali. He became in love with Imam Ali so much that said, and he would say that if God were to take away all our blessings, to take away whatever he had given us, but instead were to give us one more Ali ibn Abi Talib, it would be worth it. This is the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that it transcends, it's timeless. It's not only limited to followers of the Ahlul Bayt. It's for everybody.